Okay. Morning, everybody. Happy 2024, I will say. Hope you're all enjoying the breakfast. Thanks to Shul for sponsoring. So the topic at hand this morning, I think is apropos. I entitled the shiur Sailing Through Holy Waters. Can a Jew study other religions? So the reason for that, obviously, is that today is the 1st of January, which is obviously not a Jewish holiday in any sense of the term. It is a Christian holiday. In fact, some know this as the day of the Feast of the Circumcision. That is not this feast. This is not the Feast of the Circumcision. This is just breakfast. But that is the way many Christians know about this day. So I thought it would be appropriate to study together a little bit about whether or not we, to what degree we ought to familiarize ourselves with the practices of other religions. So in case you sort of ask, like, but why would we think to begin with? Aside from your own personal interests, what is the positive benefit of studying other religions? So the truth is, there can be many, and I just gave you one source here that I found a few years ago, the first time I spoke about this topic, from Rabbi Chaim David Halevi, who was, I believe, one of the chief rabbis of Israel in the 20th century, if not a very prominent rabbi, and his response to Asela Harav. So I think it's pretty apropos. He's talking about the unique connection of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, right? And he brings a proof that from the Quran, everybody agrees to the Jewish connection to the land of Israel. He says, "Vafilo olamara vishua nifka yasher mishivas Yisrael yartso." Even the Arabic world, which is the direct casualty or the community directly impacted by the Jewish return to the land of Israel. They cannot deny the fundamental connection between the nation of Israel and its land. Right? There are many places in the Quran where it talks about the Jewish connection to the land of Israel. I was going to look them up, but I thought you're not allowed to look them up because you can't study other religions. But that exactly, actually, is the topic of today's shiur. So you see, evidently, Rabbi Chaim David Halevi did look through the Quran and find these different references to whether or not, to the admission that the Jewish people have a unique connection to the land of Israel. So the question is, what are the parameters of doing such a thing? Apparently, Rabbi Chaim David Halevi felt it was permissible. Again, you could check his Mar Makomos in the Quran about whether they're accurate or not. I will tell you why I'm not 100% sure. I did not look myself. So what's the issue? What would be the problem of looking at reading the text of another religion? Avodah Zarah. You're not worshiping it. You're not actually, right? You're just studying. Say taking a comparative religions course or something like that for your own curiosity. So the truth is, you know, Yitz is correct in that it is not just that we cannot formally serve Avodah Zarah, but there are a few prohibitions that relate to the importance of distancing ourselves from pagan or foreign beliefs and not studying them too carefully. Take a look at a few of the psukim from sources 2, 3, and 4. In Vayikra, Vakarshish Kedoshim, we have, Al tifnu el ha-elilim. Do not turn to idols. What does it mean to turn to idols? So there are different interpretations, but one interpretation we'll see is that it is not just that you cannot worship idols, but you cannot associate yourself with idolatrous practices, as we'll see the Rambam. Similarly, have the Tosuk in Devarim, it says in source number 3, be careful that you be not ensnared to follow them after they're destroyed from before you. Pen tidros elo heihem lemor, lest you seek their gods and say, how do these nations serve their gods? And I should do the same. So the Torah here is proscribing the investigation of how these other nations serve their idols, lest you say, that sounds like a good idea. I kind of want that. Presents on a holiday, I like that one. Let's do that. Right? The Torah is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. So that's another source. And then you have here maybe the most famous one, which we recite every time we say Kriya Shema in the third paragraph from Parsha Shalach, whose chartem is called Mitzvot Hashem. You shall remember all the commandments of God. Vasitem otam, and you should do them. Velosa suru achare levavachem v'achare einechem. You should not veer after your hearts or after your eyes. Asher atem zonim achareim, which you stray after them. What does it mean? Once I get to, what does it mean not to stray after your hearts and after your eyes? Says the Gemara in Brachos, source number 5. Acharei levavachem zuminos, acharei einechem zu hirher havira. Acharei levavachem, after your hearts, that refers to minos. Minos is heresy. You should not let your hearts stray. It refers to a prohibition against straying after heresy. So there are a number of different sources which are a bit ambiguous, a bit general in the way that they are phrased, but we'll see the Rambam clearly identifies all of these as prohibitions, not just against worshipping Avodah Zarah, but against studying the ways of Avodah Zarah. Yes, yes.
It's interesting, the Pasuk in Devarim, you translated it as lest you say. That's not a necessary translation. It could be as you say. In other words, it's not, you shouldn't study it because you might go after it to serve it. You shouldn't study it in order to serve it.
Is there number 3?
Number 3, yes.
Pen tidrosh le'elohei lehem le'mor, lest you seek their gods and say.
It may not
say. Okay, there might be, that's fair. I'm not saying it's the only way to interpret it. What's that?
You have the translation that says less.
Pen means less, no? This is the GPS translation. All these could be interpreted differently, but I we'll see the Rambam does interpret it in this way. So, but there are other interpretations. Fair. Take a look at source number 6, where the Rambam really focuses on all these psukim and says it's basically one idea in mind. Says the Rambam, this is in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Svarim Rabim Chivru Ovde Kochavim Ba'avodasa. The idolaters composed many different books about how to serve idolatry. Heich ikra avodasa, what's the way to serve it? Mam maaseh, mishpateh, what are the different laws? Tzivanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shelo likros bosen hasfarim klal. Hashem commanded us not to look at those books at all. V'lo nahar herba, we shouldn't think about Avodah Zarah, davar medvareha, nor any of its laws. V'afilu histakel ben mus hatsura asor, even to look at the image of an idol is forbidden. To look at it, Shenemar al tifnu el ha'alilim. Do not turn toward idols. Indeed, I will say, the Araim actually understood that the prohibition of al tifnu el ha'alilim specifically refers to looking at idolatry. Now that poses some questions about, you know, if you go to a museum or something like that, where you're seeing various statues and such, if those were idolatrous statues, is it permitted to look at such a statue? But the Rambam, beyond just looking at it, sees this as a prohibition against studying Avodah Zarah. Inyan Hazen Namar, regarding this matter, it says, Pentidro Shalohayim Lemor, right, that's our pasuk, lest you seek their gods and say, Echayavdu, Shaloh Tishal Alderach Avodasa Hechu, you should not ask about the way you serve it. How is it? Don't ask. So, nu, what do you do on your holidays? Afal pi sheinatza ovda, even if you don't serve it. Why? Why is it a problem? What is the issue with studying other religions?
It brings you close to them.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it piques your curiosity. You're like, hey, you know, it's not such a bad idea. I kind of like that idea. And you never know the impact it might have on you. Says the Rambam, shedavar zeh goreim lihifanos achareha. Because this idea, i.e. studying these works, causes a person to veer after it. Velasos kama shenos, and to do like they do. Shenemar ve'ese kingamoni. He said, I should also do it. Continuing in the Rambam here. He says, v'chol lavin ha'ilu be'yinechot. He quotes all these lavin. All these prohibitions are one idea. Shushalo yifna achar avodos kachavim. A person should not turn toward idolatry. And anybody who veers toward idolatry in a way that he does an action, he does some act, he's liable for lashes. And here's an important point. It's not just literal idolatry, which the Torah forbades following, studying. Elokol machshava shehu gorim lo le'adam la'akor ikar me'ikarei ha'Torah. any sort of thought that would cause a person to uproot one of the fundamental principles of Torah, any thought that would cause a person to question the fundamentals of his or her faith, muzarinanu, shelo l'halosa el alibenu. We are prescribed against having such a thought, or bringing up such a thought on our hearts. We shouldn't allow our minds to wander in such a way. And that we'll think, and if we do allow our minds to wander in such a way, then we might be pulled after the thoughts of our heart. Because a person's mind is short or narrow. He's saying is, well, you might ask the Rambam, what do you mean? If Judaism is the truth, so then what do I have to be concerned by studying other religions? It will be clear to me that it's false. Why should I be so hesitant? And the Rambam says, because not everybody has a full, complete understanding. And while we all might, you know, we all believe in Yiddishkeit, but maybe we misunderstood something, or we won't be 100% clear on something, and these sort of thoughts will ask us to cause us to question. Very strong language. If a person would just follow the whims of their hearts, it would follow that they would destroy the world based on their narrowness of mind. There could be bad consequences of simply following the thoughts that pop up into our head. And then he quotes this pasuk of Alosa Suru, Azayon Zehi Zira Torah v'nemar, about this matter, the Torah warned us and said, "Velosa surachre levachem achre nechem asher temzonim." Klomar lo yimashe kalecha michem acher daito atzara viadamesh mashata masayas emes. Don't let none of you should simply follow their limited minds and think that they've arrived at the truth. Okay, good. So this is a clear prohibition against studying the practice of other religions. And the Rambam is saying it's not just Avodah Zarah proper. You might say certain things are an Avodah Zarah, but it's really any sort of thought which would cause a person to question the fundamentals of Jewish belief. So that's part one. There is fundamentally a problem with studying idolatrous texts or texts of other religion which fundamentally reject certain precepts of ours, which is essentially all the other religions. If we didn't fundamentally disagree, we wouldn't be different religions, right? So it's understood that we do, and therefore there ought to be some hesitance. But is there any basis for permissibility? What was Reb Chaim David Halevi doing? As we'll see, the Rambam himself, who wrote that exact halacha, proscribing studying other religions, himself attests that he studied many other religions. And so the question is, what is the basis for that study? So it starts, so I think one well-known source is the Mishnah in Avos, which is in, you know, we have to find out the basis for this Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Da ma shetoshu l'apikores, right? Know what to answer a heretic. What does that mean, know what to answer a heretic? It means, and this is not something to make light of, it happens that there will be certain people who will challenge you, or missionaries who come to missionize, and they'll ask you certain questions about your faith or try to prove their faith. And the Mishnah in Avos is saying, you have to know how to answer them, have a conversation with them such that you can repel their arguments. And this is something that happened throughout our history. There were, you know, disputations. The Ramban is famous for having a disputation in Barcelona with a Jew who converted to Christianity. So the Magen Avos, this is the Rav Shimma ben Samach, the Tash Beitz, on his commentary in the Mishnah in Avos, comments as follows on this Mishnah. Vida, Masha Tashav as Abikores, Mika Nahagnu Hatter Beatzmenu, Lilmod Hachokhmo Sahim. Based on this Mishnah, we have adopted the custom, and we have given ourselves a permit to learn those chachmos, to learn those disciplines. From their own words, we can respond to them that they don't have any proofs, right, to contradict the Torah. Right, so that if let's say a missionary strikes up a conversation with you and tries to prove to you the validity of their faith, you can say no. You should look at the New Testament so-and-so. It proves that it's not a contradiction to my faith. That's a very powerful argument. So Tashbait said, based on this notion that there is an obligation to know what to answer a heretic, we have adopted the custom of studying these other texts. This isn't included in what the Mishnah says elsewhere, which is that somebody who reads the external books does not have a share in the world to come. So there is such a Mishnah listing who doesn't have a share in the world to come. And one of those is Akore Besfarim Achitzoniim, somebody who reads the external books. What are external books? Refers to these sorts of books of other religions, etc. Some say it refers to books of philosophy. So the Tashbait says, but when you do that for the intent of being able to respond, so then that's not included. Yeah.
You want to know how to answer because
yeah.
You have to learn, know what's in it. So
that's exactly what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. That's what Tashbait's saying. How are you going to know what to answer if you don't know what they're talking about, if you're not conversant at all? But what is the basis of the Mishnah? Is there any, we have these bona fide psukim in the Torah telling us we're not allowed to do this. There must be some basis. So that relates to the Sifri, and the question is going to be the scope of it, which I think really begins an interesting conversation. So take a look at the Medrash in source number 9. Source number 9 is actually quoting a different pasuk from the Parsha Shoftim, which says, Lo silmo la'asos ketoavos hagoyim ahim. You should not learn to do like the abominations of that of those nations. So the Sifri says, in Source 9, Yachal yatzar rashai lilmod laharos ilahavim. You might think that you are not allowed even to learn in order to laharos, to instruct ilahavim, and to understand. Talmud lomar, la'asos. The Torah says, and this is actually regarding practices of witchcraft or idolatry. There were various pagan ways of sorcery in the times the Torah was written. And the Torah says you can't practice witchcraft, which is known as kishuv. And in this pasuk it said, you should not learn to do like those abominations. Have the Sifri says, you should not learn to do. The learning of witchcraft is forbidden so long as you're learning in order to practice witchcraft. You are able to learn about witchcraft in order to instruct and in order to understand. What does that mean, first glance? Yeah?
It's different than the Rambam.
Which Rambam?
The earlier Rambam, the other Pasuk. In other words, it wasn't because you're going to be worshiping them.
Right.
It's just being exposed to them can bring you in that derech. This is a different approach.
Right, right. It's a different pasuk. Actually, it's interesting. The Mefarshim do not use the poskim don't quote this pasuk, but this is the pasuk that Sifri quotes, which is about witchcraft, not avodah zarah. But what the Medrash is saying, you are allowed to learn about witchcraft to understand and to instruct. What do you think that means? How would you instruct by learning about witchcraft, or how would you understand?
Show the falsity of it.
Good. Good. That's certainly one example. Another basic one we'll see is, and this is going to be the question, what is the scope of this heter, lahavin lahoros? We have a pasuk telling us you can't study witchcraft. Then we have our tradition which says we are allowed to study it lahavin, to understand, and lahoros, and to instruct. Or lahoros specifically usually is in the context of getting a psak, right? So what does that mean? What does that allow? What sort of studying or what sort of motivation does that allow in terms of studying these other religions? And not just other religions. We'll see this is a very broad heter. It's a very broad dispensation and various prohibitions. So one basic one just to mention, which is evident from the Gemara, is to know how to punish, right? So there's a prohibition against idolatry. And what is the prohibition? Serving idolatry. Well, how do you serve idolatry? Well, I don't know because I've never really studied it. But the point is, there are certain basic things that you can't do, but there are also specific practices to each form of Avodah Zarah that constitutes serving the Avodah Zarah. Well, how can you prosecute someone for violating idolatry if you have no idea how that what that idolatry represents, what you have to do to serve it? So Lahoros might be, you have to know what is Avodah Zarah in order to judge on certain cases. If you take a look at source number 10, then 11, though, we see that it has a very broad application. Fascinating Gemara. So this is Sanhedrin. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin I just brought you one line from it. It's a fascinating, for those who are into witchcraft and black magic, anybody? The Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about, I believe it's Rabbi Eliezer, if I remember correctly, who is able to essentially magically conjure up kishuin, cucumbers and gourds. He had some sort of, I don't know, spell, which enabled him to make gourds multiply from nothing, and then to uproot them. Also, magically. The Gemara says he used to do this. So the Gemara therefore asks, Hei Chiyav Rachi, how could he do this? Wait, what's going on? How is he practicing this sort of witchcraft? We taught that a person who does an act in the realm of sorcery is liable. How can he practice sorcery? So the Gemara says, L'hislam eit shayni. To teach oneself is different. To teach oneself is different. And it quotes our medrash, Amar Mar, Lo tilmo lasos, you shouldn't learn about it to do it. Lasos i'ata lomid, avalata lomid, lahavin lahoros. You are not allowed to learn about sorcery to do it, but you can to understand and to instruct. Interesting. So this is actually very ambitious, isn't it? Because this is not just that Rabbi Eliezer learned about sorcery, but rather it is that he did sorcery. He actually did it. He practiced the witchcraft. He magically made, I don't know how this works, so don't ask. They don't teach us to you in Smicha how to make cucumbers appear out of thin air. Ah, he did it with a shino, yeah? He asked a non-Jew to do it for him. I don't know. But he made it happen. How did he do it? The Gemara says that because his intent wasn't to actually use the cucumbers, but rather, or whatever it was he made, but rather was just to learn what's involved in this sort of sorcery so he knows, you know, what the Torah is describing, it becomes permissible. That's one source. Take a look at the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, another fascinating one. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah primarily talks about Kiddush HaChodesh, and being able to look at the new moon and determine when the new month starts. Because that is how they used to know Rosh Chodesh, right? They didn't have a calendar. They would go out. They go out to the sky at night and look and see if anybody saw the new moon. The two owners did see the new moon. There was a whole process. They went to Beis Din, etc. So the Mishnah therefore says, Demus suros levana ha'ilol Rabbi Gamliel betavla uvakolta ba'aliyasa. In Rabbi Gamliel's attic, the Gamliel was a Nasi, the head of the rabbinic court. So in his attic, he had a tablet, and on that tablet, in his attic, and on the wall, he had different images of the moon. Sheba en Mara Sajotos, he would have, I guess, some sort of diagram of the moon, and he would show people, hey, did you see like this? Did you see like that? He would show how the moon looks in the sky. Hakazer Yiso Kazer. What's the problem with this? You can't make an image of the moon. It's a prohibition to make an image of the moon. In lo sasun itiel, okay, kesel, okay, zahav, and the rabbis understand that any of the heavenly constellations is forbidden to make an image of. So how did Rabbi Gamliel make the images of the moon in order to allow, you know, people who were testifying that they saw the moon to look at these images? So the Gemara says again, look at the last line on this page, or you can turn the page to the English. You buy Seymar if you want, I'll say. There are different answers to this question. One is this. L'islam et avad. He did it to teach himself, or to teach others. Uksiv, lo silmod la'asos, avalat alam et lahav en alhoros. You cannot learn to do, but you can learn to understand and to instruct. Evidently, although there is a prohibition against constructing these sort of images, Rabbi Gamliel was allowed to do so because his intent was not for the purpose of serving them, but or to benefit from them, but rather to teach people or to determine whether people had indeed seen the Levana. And that is permissible. One more, then I want to think about this for a second. Now we have a Gemara in Shabbos. This Gemara in Shabbos is quite fascinating. The Gemara here is talking about learning from a certain sort of person. And this sort of person is forbidden to learn from. Now this is going to be an important source for our purposes, so let's look at it carefully. Gemara says in Shabbos, Halo me davar echa min hamagosh chayav misa. Right? Somebody who learns something from a magosh is liable for the death penalty. That is a bit of a euphemism or an exaggeration. You don't literally kill a person, but you can't learn from a magosh. Pray tell, what is a magosh? So the Gemara says, Amagushta, Rabu Shmuel, Chad Amar Harashe, V'chad Amar Gadufe. One says that they are Harashe. Harashe are sorcerers. And one says they are heretics. Now here the Gemara is saying you can't even learn Torah from such people. You're not supposed to learn from a magosh, but what is a magosh? Two opinions. One is that it's a sorcerer, and one is that it's a heretic. Says the Gemara, Tistayin d'Rav d'Amar Gedofi. I can conclude it's Rav that says that it's not a sorcerer, but rather a heretic that it's forbidden to learn from. D'Amar Marvzutcha Bartovya Amar Rav. Marvzutcha Bartovya is then in the name of Rav. Halome Davaracham na Magosh Chayav Misa. If you learn one thing from a magosh, you're liable for death. If you think it refers to sorcerers, haksiv lo silmad laasos, avalatalami lahavin alahoros. It says that you are not allowed to learn from them to do, but you can learn to understand and to instruct. Meaning, if Rav is saying it's forbidden and a serious crime to learn from such people, then it must be he thinks that these people are not sorcerers. Because if they were sorcerers, it wouldn't be such a crime. Why would it not be such a crime? Because you're allowed to learn about sorcery or from a sorcerer if the purpose is not to practice sorcery, but rather to understand it and to instruct. What's the implication, though? Right? We had two options. Is the sort of person you cannot learn from a sorcerer or a heretic? Gemara says it can't be a sorcerer. If it were a sorcerer, Rav would never have said it's forbidden to learn from such a person. But what does that imply?
A heretic is worse.
Yes. Yes. So that's an issue, right? It implies that a heretic, for a heretic, apparently, to learn from a heretic, from someone who believes these sort of foreign beliefs to our system of beliefs, it is for this permit, this permissibility of lahavin and lahoros does not apply. We have to think about that one. But that is another source which indicates that you can, if for the right purpose, learn this sort of practice. There is one more source I just didn't bring for you, which is about Rabbi Hananya ben Trajo. Hananya ben Trajo is one of the 10 Asara Harugi Malchus, the 10 martyrs that we read about, on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av. And that Gemara actually describes in great detail the way he died and the way he was killed. But the Gemara says, well, why was he, for what punishment, what sin did he commit which allowed him to be captured by the Romans and prosecuted? The Gemara says that he would be hoge et Hashem ba'osiosav. He used to enunciate the Hashem's name, the ineffable name, Yoke Vavke. The Gemara says, but how could he do that? You're not allowed to do that. The Gemara says, well, he did it lahavin lahoros. He was allowed to do it, or he felt he was allowed to do it, because he was trying to teach people what you are not allowed to do. You can't say this name, and then he would say the name. So this idea of lahavin lahoros is pretty widespread. Think about this, okay? What? Oh, so the Gemara says he shouldn't have done it in public. He shouldn't have done it in public. He shouldn't have done it berabim. He should have done it more in private. And that's why he ultimately was punished. Good. So you have this notion that you're allowed, there's a heter to do various things. Let's review. Learn and do sorcery. Construct these tablets of the moon, or these images of the moon. And to pronounce the Hashem's name in the way that it's spelled, as long as you're doing it lahavin and lahoros. Now what's the idea there? Here's the interesting part. The actual context of the limud, the medrash allowing this, is sorcery. It's learning about sorcery, and yet we've expanded it, or the Gemara expands it. I should say, I got a lot of this from Rabbi Eliyahu Soloveitchik, has a shir on this I was reading. So he points out, Rabbi Eliyahu Soloveitchik, who is, I think, the Rosh Yeshiva of Landers, very prominent Talmud Chacham, he points out that the context itself is just about learning about sorcery, yet the Gemara understood that it could be applied in various contexts, right? It's not just a specific detail about learning about sorcery, but it is a general heter. What's the basis of it?
It's the opposite of serving. It's to prevent serving.
Right, exactly. And what's fascinating, what the basis is, in the context of these negative sort of beliefs, what you're doing is not to serve them, but to prevent you from serving, or to prevent others from serving. So that's just not what the Torah had in mind when it prescribed this sort of studying. And it would also seem a Torah understands that certain practices or sorts of learning are necessary in order to maintain the Torah, in order to properly practice it. Again, how could you study, how could you prosecute someone for something if you have no idea what that is? Or, in Rabbi Gamliel's case, he's not trying to do Avodah Zarah. He's trying to show people or to test whether people actually saw the moon. So that sort of practice is just not included in what the Torah prescribed, because there are certain things that are just so basic for operating as a Torah community that they're just included in what you're allowed to do. So it seems like it's a general heter. So then the question will be, does this extend to studying idolatry? Because there's no source in the Gemara explicitly which says you can study another religion if you're doing it l'havna l'horos. So you have the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, but should it be extended? But if the Gemara itself is extending it, then there may very well be a basis, as we shall see. But it's also worth considering, what does l'havna l'horos mean? What sort of motivation is permissible if you're studying what otherwise would be forbidden?
Combat
it, we've seen. Understanding it so that you can prosecute.
Denigrating it.
So that's what we're seeing in Rashi, right?
Basically, your own belief.
Exactly. And I think that this is what's most relevant, hopefully we don't, it's worth knowing how to answer a missionary. I mean, even beyond that, just knowing internally why we believe what we believe and we don't believe what they believe is an important thing. And it's hard to know that if you don't have any idea what they indeed do believe. Now, just to prove to you, to show you the irony of this, the first source we read talking about the prohibition was the Rambam. But look what the Rambam says in source 13. I say, this is in the Morne Vuchim, I say that my knowledge of the belief, practice, and worship of the Sabians has given me an insight into many of the divine precepts and has led me to know their reason. You will confirm it when I shall give the reason of commandments which are seemingly purposeless. I will mention to you the works from which you may learn all that I know of the religion and the opinions of the Sabians. You will thereby obtain the true knowledge of my theory as regards the purpose of the divine precepts.
It's a different direction.
Yeah, it is. But what the Rambam is saying here is this. The Rambam in Morne Vuchim often gives these explanations for mitzvos. Why can't you eat meat and milk mixed together? So I have no idea. The Torah doesn't tell us why you can't eat meat and milk mixed together. The Rambam wanted to give a reason. He felt that's important to understand the basis behind it. The Rambam suggests that many of these commandments are essentially there to combat the pagan beliefs that existed when the Torah was given. That there are certain forms of idolatry or ritual that were associated with certain practices. And the Torah proscribes those practices to distance you from Avodah Zarah. And we have to remember, when the Jews left Egypt, they left a pagan society where they had all sorts of practices. Avram Avinu, the Rambam says, grew up in a pagan society, as the Medrash tells us. And so God had to wean them off of that. So what's the Rambam saying? If you really want to understand the reason behind the mitzvos, what do you have to do? To study all these different religions that existed. The Sabians. And not only does he say he studied them, he says, I'm going to give you the Maya Makomos, right? If you want to learn about this mitzvah, look at this book. You want to learn about this mitzvah, look at this book. And he lists different books that you're able to, that were apparently accessible in his time period, 11th century and 12th century, if you wanted to learn more about this. How could Ram do any of this if he himself said the Torah forbade us to learn any of these books? obviously he's using the heter of lahavin or lahoros. In order to stand, not idolatry here, but the Torah itself. Now, this is not everybody agrees with the Rambam here that this is what the reason for the mitzvos are. The Rambam felt if you want to understand certain mitzvos, you have to know Avodah Zarah. Because the purpose of the mitzvah is to detach the Jewish people from that form of Avodah Zarah. In fact, in one letter, the Rambam says he thinks there is not a book about these different forms of paganism that is accessible in my time that I have not read. I read every single book about it. Every single one, he says. So clearly the Rambam felt that it was applicable in this regard. So I just wanted to share with you, to close, some of the different formulations of this, and then Rav Moshe's practical psak. Take a look at the Yad Ramah, who I think broadens it even a bit more. The Ramah is talking about the first Gemara in Sanhedrin about teaching this form of sorcery. He says, Mufarki, and the Gemara answers, Islam Shani Klomar, Ki Avila Agmur Rabbi Kiva David. Rabbi Eliezer did this sort of sorcery to teach Rabbi Akiva. The Amar Mar Lo Silmo La Sos Kisoavos Hagoyimahem Klomar Lehis Asik Bahem Lahanoas Atzmicha Kisoavas Hagoyimahem Aval Atalamid Lahavin Lahoro, says the Arama, and this is a very important formulation. You can't learn the ways of sorcery for your own benefit, to benefit from them. Which explains also why he was able to practice in this way. Meaning, the way the Arma understands this is, these prohibitions apply so long as you're doing them to benefit from them, for your own usage. But if you're not doing it for that purpose, if you're doing it to instruct, then it is permissible. We take a look at Rashi on the Torah itself, the way he understands this, lahavin elahoros, what does that mean to understand and to instruct? Lahavin ma'aseyem kamehem mukokalin, to understand what they do, how despicable it is. Right? So you're learning about it now, and this is important to keep in mind, you're learning about it so that you understand how silly it is what they do. That's how Rashi is looking at it. Don't do that. You don't do that. That's the way these idolatrous nations act. So here Rashi is saying you're allowed to learn about it if, and this is a big if indeed learning about it will cause you to reject it. And that's a hard judgment call. Because anybody could say that, and then...
How would you know?
Well, you have to know yourself, don't you? And you have to have a good grounding in Torah mitzvot. And it's not so simple, right? So that's why Rashi's formulation is an important one. In Torah 16, we have a very important Me'iri, because the Me'iri is the one who explicitly extend this to the learning of heretical sources. Now, this has some context to it, it's, of course, because if you know a bit about the history of the Rambam and his followers. The Rambam, of course, was a big advocate of studying philosophy and studying the Islamic philosophers who were students of Aristotle and translated Aristotle into Arabic, etc. The Rambam spoke Arabic, right? So the Rambam couldn't study Aristotle because the Rambam didn't know Latin. But he studied the Islamic scholars who indeed translated Aristotle, and then many people were very opposed to that, and that was a big controversy, and you know, a lot of, you know, books were burned, etc. Meiri was a follower of the Rambam. So in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it said, Rabbi Kiva says, someone who is Kore Besfar Machitzonim, who reads these external books, loses out their chelak in Olam Haba, loses their portion in the world to come. So that's an attack on studying these sources. So it says Meiri, Ratza Lomar, Shalo Lahavin Lahoros, Ela Adas Lelech Be'emunasa. That means not in order to understand and instruct, but rather to follow their belief. So the Meiri is explicitly saying, when the Mishnah says you cannot read these books that are Sfar Machitzonim, you might say heretical books, that is only if you are reading them in order to follow their beliefs, not if you're reading them to understand and instruct. So the Meiri, we're almost finished, I'll take your question. The Meiri himself says that this dispensation, again, although the Gemara never explicitly says that you could read, let's say, the New Testament or the Quran or some sort of philosophical book that is heretical in the sense that it rejects certain beliefs, that if you're the Gemara itself never gives such a dispensation, the Meiri does. He says it explicitly. And we'll see Reb Moshe took that Lamaisa. Another interesting thought I just wanted to share from the Bach. Another way to understand the Havna Lahoros, he quotes this Rav Menachem, I'm not sure who that is. He says, Kasa Rav Menachem and Shuvah, and miyachol adam lil momen machashev, and yoni kishav. Could a person learn sorcery from a sorcerer? He shafti demutr lil momen velasos lahatza laatmo o laachirim. You're allowed to learn sorcery to save yourself or to save others. Now, in the context of sorcery, that means, you know, if you know black magic, so if they're going to attack you with black magic, you can use black magic to save yourself. I don't know how that works, but again, but I think more broadly, to save others might mean to be able. Now, there are a lot of people nowadays who are very bothered by big questions, right? And they're very bothered by some of these works. So I think this heter of to save yourself or others might then apply, that you should be conversant in these texts and have an intelligent conversation with somebody else who also is studying these texts and therefore struggling with certain questions of faith. So the Bach says the Havna Lahoros includes saving others. So you see then that you have this notion of the Havna Lahoros. It seems to be pretty broad across various prohibitions, that if you're essentially, the intent is the Shem Shamayim, to understand and to strengthen your own belief or to practice Torah mitzvahs better, then there is a reason for dispensation. And that leads to Rav Moshe. And I think Rav Moshe is important because on the one hand, he accepts this Meiri. On the other hand, he also has a word of caution. He says as follows. B'davar Masha Hevi HaMeiri. So the person asks, you quoted this Meiri in source 16 that we read. He said, Hadrin, Akriya Besfarim Chitzonim Shalahavin Elahoros Leke Eser. That to read these external books, if you're doing it for the purposes of understanding the structure, there's no prohibition. Shehua dina sifrei davodazara hu emes. Right? That this is not only applicable to external books, books of philosophy, but also about books of avodazara. Rabbi Moshe says it even refers to books of other religions. A makom lachalik ben sifrei kfira lesifrei avodazara v'kul masurin. Meaning, there's no difference between studying another religion and studying a text which is heretical. It's the same, whether or not it's another religion or not. It's the same challenge. And therefore, the permit to do it applies equally. Yet he says, how does the Meiri get it? He says, Ulai mehad de Sanhedrin, tzrichin leid de gam yonei kishof. How does the Meiri know this? Because the Sanhedrin needed to know witchcraft. Vigam Havli Avodazara, Kamafarish Rambam, Reish Parakbe Sanhedrin, Kadesh Shahayu Yodin Ladinosam, so that they would know how to judge such people. If they did Avodazara, they should know so that they can judge them. Vimlohayu Karim Besifrayim, Hey Chayu Yodin, how did they know? How would the Sanhedrin have known how to judge certain people? They didn't read their books. And this is an important line. Ein Lomar Shahar Lom Demi Odim, don't say they learned it from idolaters. Maybe they went to their local priest and said, you know, would you just mind teaching me, you know, what constitutes avodah zarah in your religion? Don't say that. Why? Shezeh asor af kidei lahavin ulahoros. Because to learn from an idolater, from someone who practices such beliefs, to learn directly from them is forbidden if you're doing it lahavin ulahoros. How does Rav Moshe know that? He knows that from the Gemara we learned about Megosha. I mean, the Gemara said, if it's from a sorcerer, it's okay, lahav nilahoros. It must be the prohibition is if you're learning from a heretic, which means to learn directly from someone. This is something to learn from a priest, etc. That the Gemara seems to proscribe, that you can't do. Even if you're doing it for, you say, the right reason. Why is that? Exactly. If you're learning it from the source, for someone who practices the religion themselves, so there is more of a fear that you will become pulled after them. It's not like they're not biased. They are biased, right? They have a stake in the game. They want you to be influenced.
You're also validating them.
So that you can't do. But to read the book on your own is different. And that's what he's saying from the Meiri. Just one more second. I'm almost done. Avam mitzad heter zeh, ein lahatir, ela legdole ador betorah ovir shemayim velo lesam bnei adam. So Rav Moshe says himself, this dispensation should only to apply to the greatest of our generation, of Torah and Yerushalayim, and not to normal people. Of a likrul isfarim shem vinim misham shem divri hevel shtosh shekosim sham shazal asu kadom v'chein lilmo ba course both in zeh and mizeh shemister. If you're learning it from a way where it's clear from the text itself that the practices are clearly not true and not correct, that's different. So Rav Moshe is saying that fundamentally the dispensation applies, but you also have to know yourself. And he's, the way he draws the line is you have to be very grounded in the Torah and Yerushalayim, because these books can move you if you are not grounded. So it would seem to me then that you shouldn't study these texts just for curiosity. I think that's what seems clear. Just because, you know, I'm just curious. I just want to know what they do or what they think. That's exactly what the Rambam and the Gemara and the various Gemaras are saying is inappropriate. But if you're doing it so that you know why you believe what you believe and why you don't believe what they don't believe, and you're doing it so that you can understand your religion better, that there is a dispensation for. But we all have to be honest with ourselves to know that we're grounded enough in Torah and mitzvot, and we're doing it for the appropriate motivation such that will only strengthen our belief and not have the opposite impact. And, you know, it's not so easy to know where to draw the line. You have to really be honest with yourself and know your motivation and know what you are ready to handle. So Hashem should give us the opportunity to strengthen our belief and only to grow in it and not be influenced by the beliefs of others.